Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message. Are you aware that everyone is a church member? Now you're going to start and think about it. I'm not too sure about that statement. Everyone is a church member. But that's right, and I'm going to explain it to you. Every human being is a member of one of two churches. Now, let's examine the word church. And sometimes the English words can have a lot of meanings. A lot of times we use the word church, we think about the building, and we refer to the beautiful church building. But the Greek word used, and the word church only appears in the New Testament, so it's a Greek word that's ecclesia, which is really translated several ways here, could be anyway, but it translates as a religious congregation. It can even refer to a Jewish synagogue or the Christian community of members on earth or the saints in heaven. And that's according to the Strong's Greek and Hebrew dictionary. So you are really the church. It is you that is being referred to. Jesus never referred to the church as a specific building. In fact, the use of the word church in the New Testament primarily comes after Jesus has already ascended back into heaven. Now, I know there is a verse that we'll quote a little bit later where Jesus does use the word, but there basically breaks down, and I know I was talking with Larry before church this morning about church, and I said there are two churches, and he says, well, you know, really if you go back to the translation of the word and the meaning of the word, there could be multiple church. And really when it boils down to it, you could say a gathering at a Titans football game is a church because it's an assembly. It's a congregation of people who've come for a specific person. But if you say, I went to a church and you went to the Titans football game, I'm not going to buy that story, okay? And I don't think anybody else would either. But there are two churches. First of all, there's the Church of God. And I want to put a note in here that I'm not referring at this point to a particular denomination, because there are at least two denominations that go by the name Church of God. And then, of course, there's the Assembly of God, which also plays on that word as part of that translation, assembly. And if you go on, you can find a lot of churches that use various names that they have gleaned from the Bible as the name of their denomination or as the name of their individual church. So when I'm talking about the Church of God, I'm not referring to a particular denomination that may be headquartered in a particular city in a particular state, but I am referring to the church overall that is a part of the family of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 says, unto the church of God, which is in Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all that call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in every place, both their Lord and ours. If you are calling upon the name of Jesus Christ, if you have Jesus Christ dwelling in your heart, if you are a born-again Christian, you are a member of the Church of God. Now, I know if you go into a particular denominational church that goes by that name and say, hey, I'm a member because of a, they're going to look on the roll book and say, we don't find your name here. But God finds your name on the roll, like we talked about last week. Your name is upon the roll if you are serving Jesus Christ and you have given your heart and life to Him. Matthew chapter 16 is where Jesus mentions church, and He says, "And I say also unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not overcome it." Now, I want to read this from the complete Jewish Bible translation. It says, "I also tell you, you are Kepha," which means rock, "and on this rock I will build my community. I will build my assembly. I will build my congregation. I will build my people, and the gates of Sheol shall not overcome it." If you're standing upon the rock, upon the foundation of faith that Jesus laid for, and He's in your heart and life, it doesn't matter what the devil throws against you. We will overcome it. And I know that some people will say, okay, well, the devil's thrown some pretty hard stuff out there, and a lot of terrible things have happened to some very good people who are born-again Christians. What about that? Well, I've said it once before, actually multiple times before, and I'll say it again. If you've got Jesus Christ in your heart and you're on your way to heaven, you have won the battle already, because the final victory is already yours. And you have overcome anything that the gates of hell can throw against you. Who is the church? The church is that is blood washed. The only way you get to be a member of the church of God is you must be blood washed. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 says, "And from Jesus Christ, which is that faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and that prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His blood." Only the blood washed are members of the church of God. Now, you can be a really good person, and you can attend a church service at a church building every time the doors are open. But I'm sorry to tell you, that and that alone will never get you through the gates of heaven. And there are a lot of people that sadly believe that story, or believe that thing that doing good works and good deeds and whatever will get you into heaven. I remember a man that I used to deal with in a business sense, and he believed that by doing good works, that's all he needed to do, and nothing else would convince him. And I'll have to say, he did a lot of good works, and he did a lot of things better than a lot of Christians did, but he was not blood washed. Only the blood of Jesus washes away the sin. And of course, a lot of people don't want to believe it, but we're all sinners to start out with. You're born into sin. And the only way you will ever get through the gates of heaven and be part of that church of God is to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. And His blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary is what was the sacrifice for our sin. It was the blood that washed away our sin. If you go back to the time of Adam and Eve, all the way up to the time of the crucifixion, it was an animal sacrifice that was required to have forgiveness of sin. But that was only looking forward to what was going to happen on the cross of Calvary. And when Jesus made that sacrifice, we could have our sins forgiven. We didn't have to go back once a year and have an animal sacrificed and its blood shed that our sins of the past year would be forgiven. And I've often wondered what happened if you committed some terrible sin right after that sacrifice was offered, and then shortly after that you died. What happened? Because the next year hadn't come yet. Your sacrifice hadn't been made. But now Jesus has sacrificed for our sins, and His blood that was shed once and for all paid the price, paid the penalty for the sin that is in our life. Now, does that give us license to go out and do what we want to do and live the way we want to live once we've accepted Jesus into our heart? Absolutely not. And I know that there are some people out there today that teach that once you've accepted Jesus into your heart, you can do anything you want to do. But that's not so. We still have to live for Him. We have to live a righteous life. We have to serve God. Does that mean we're perfect? No, it doesn't mean we're perfect. But we've got Him there. We've got His Holy Spirit that's guiding our lives, that is directing us. We've got Him speaking to us. And you know when you do something wrong. We say our conscience sometimes convicts us of stuff. I got news, it's the Holy Spirit convicting you when you do something you know you shouldn't be doing. So only way to get into the church of God is to be blood washed. The Bible also tells us that the church of God is a glorious church. Ephesians 5:27 says that He might make it unto Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blame. That is what we're supposed to live by. We are supposed to live a holy life. We are supposed to live a blameless life. I just read on the news yesterday, and I forget which state this was in. I believe it was in Missouri, that this just happened. But it was talking about a pastor that was arrested. And the reason he was arrested is because he was a sexual predator. There are a lot of people in church today that are not living that holy life. They are not living that glorious life. They have let the enemy come in, and they've let the enemy take control of their life, and the enemy is the one that guides them and directs them. So if we are a part of the church of God, we are a part of the glorious church. We are to be held without blame. Does that mean you won't make mistakes? No, but we know that when we make mistakes, we also ask God for forgiveness. We ask God to straighten us out. We look back at David, and David is a man that God said was a man after His own heart, and yet you read David's life story, and he did some terrible things. But yet, he knew how to ask for forgiveness. And when we make a mistake, we need to ask God for forgiveness. Be that glorious church. I remember there's a song that we used to sing in church. It's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. We need to be that glorious church. A church that God can use, a church that is directed by God, a church that is serving God, and a church that is standing up for God's holy word. And we find some aren't doing that today. Well, I said there were two churches. The other one is the church of Satan. Anybody ever hear of the church of Satan? Probably have over the years, especially some of the older folks. There was a man by the name of Anton LaVey, I believe was his name, and he actually started a religious organization known as the Church of Satan. But let's read a scripture here because the Bible talks about that. It says in Revelations 2:9, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue, or church, of Satan. Then in Revelations 3:9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which call themselves Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I say, I will make them that they shall come and worship before thy feet, and shall know that I have loved thee. The church, or synagogue of Satan, is an actually existing organization. Was dedicated to the philosophy of Anton LaVey, which was codified in the Satanic Bible. They have their own Bible. The Church of Satan was established at the Black House in San Francisco, California. Since Mr. LaVey's death and someone else took over as high priest, the church has been moved to somewhere on the East Coast. Hell's Kitchen was the name of the place, though, that it was moved to, I guess, a fitting name for the Church of Satan to be headquartered out of. But here's what the high priest, Peter H. Gilmore, stated not too long ago. He said, "Our members span an amazing political spectrum, which includes, but is not limited to, libertarians, liberals, conservatives, Republicans, Democrats, Reform Party members, independents, capitalists, socialists, communists, Stalinists, Leninists, Trotskyites, Maoists, Zionists, monarchists, fascists, anarchists, and just about anything else you could possibly imagine." You see, it really boils down to the fact, if you are not a member of the Church of God, you have automatically thrown your vote in there with the Church of Satan. Joshua, back in 1376 BC, made this declaration to the children of Israel. In Joshua 24:15, he says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were beyond the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but I and mine house will serve the Lord." We have to choose who we will serve. We must make the choice to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We must choose to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We must choose to accept the work that He did for us on the cross of Calvary. We must choose to live that Christian life on a daily basis. You see, becoming a member of the Church of God is a conscious, deliberate choice. We have to make that decision. Otherwise, you automatically fall into the other category. If we do not, then we are automatically a member or the church or congregation of Satan. And I know a lot of people are going to take that kind of hard and say, "I don't like the way you preach today because you said if I'm not a Christian, I'm serving the devil." Well, I'm sorry, but that's what God's Word says. If you're not serving God, you're serving the devil. There's only two choices. You either serve God, you either accept Jesus Christ into your heart and life and become a Christian and live for Him on a daily basis, which is a conscious choice to do so, or you by default, for lack of better words, are a member of that congregation or Church of Satan. I go back to what the high priest of the Church of Satan said. Just about anything you could possibly imagine is a member of the Church of Satan. We look around our world today and we see that the Church of Satan is really becoming on a move, you might say. They're in a sense having a revival today. You say, "Well, I don't see people out carrying banners and advertisements in the newspaper that they're having something going on at the Church of Satan in my neighborhood." In fact, if you examine all the religious organizations in the state of Tennessee, surrounding states, I dare say you will probably not find Church of Satan listed as one of them. But that doesn't mean it's not active. It's active. You read the newspaper. You listen to the news. You find it's very active. Oh, it doesn't say the Church of Satan committed 6 armed robberies today and killed so many people and did this and did. No. But you read the newspaper and those things happened. And they happened because of the influence of the church of Satan. But members of the church of God, what are we doing? Are we really doing all that we can do for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we really doing and giving forth our best efforts? And sometimes I wonder if we really are. Are we doing the best we can to serve God? Or do we let other things get in our way of serving God? I would love to see a move throughout the Church of God where we experienced a mighty outpouring of God's Spirit, where we felt God's presence in such a real way that it was undeniable. Going back into the Old Testament times, when they were worshiping at the tabernacle in the wilderness, when they were worshiping at the temple, and there was moves of God that took place, and even the people who were not even within the grounds themselves would feel the presence of God. They could see His presence manifested at the tabernacle in the wilderness as a cloud, as a flame of fire, because they could feel God's presence. And when God's presence is there, you can feel it. And we need to feel God's presence today. Yeah, we're members of the Church of God. We've been blood-bought and we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, but are we doing all that we can do? Are we really serving God with all of our heart, or are we just halfway doing it? I mentioned last week about the young man that I went to Bible college with that said, well, once you've learned, you know, gone through Bible college and you've learned all this stuff, you know, you can basically sit back in your rocking chair and rock your way into heaven because you know it all. We'll never know it all here on earth. We don't know all of the fullness that God has to offer. We don't know all of the fullness of what God can do, but I'd like to experience whatever God can do, whenever God can do it, and however God can do it. I'd like to experience that move of God as a member of the Church of God, as a member of that blood-washed bunch that's on their way to heaven. Because one of these days, the trumpet's going to sound and that roll call is going to be made. And I want to be standing there yelling, present, I'm here, I made it. And I don't want to be saying, phew, I got here by the skin of my teeth. I don't want to stand before Jesus and Him look at me and say, well, Ken, man, you just barely scraped by. We let you in. Now, unfortunately, since you got in here by the skin of your teeth, you got to go down to the opposite side of the tracks over there and live in that little shanty at the end of whatever. I don't think there are going to be shanties in heaven. I'm just trying to make a point here. No, I want Him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. If I hear no other words from Jesus, those are the words that are important to me. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we only will hear that if we're members of the Church of God and we have done our best to serve God. You're a member of two churches, one or the other. You can't be a member of both. Now let me point out, some people, you know, some people, they go to one church and they're a member of that church, and then they go to another church. And I've always found some churches are interesting. Denominations, I guess I should put it. They're interesting because you can be a member of one church, and you might be attending another church somewhere else, but you're always a member of that other church, you know. I was reading somebody's obituary the other day, and he attended such and such church, but he was a member of such and such other church. You know, and we could be members of multiple churches. Don't work like that. We either a member of the Church of God when we get to heaven, or we don't get there because we were a member of the Church of Satan. I want to stand before God and hear him say, well done. I don't want to hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. And those are the two answers that you get. Depends on which church you're a member of as to which one of the answers you get. The choice is yours. We have to make that choice. No one else can make it for us. And I know some of us as well-meaning Christians, if we could make the choice, we would choose everybody to be saved. That's the way we as Christians really should feel. We would choose everybody to be saved. We wouldn't look out and say, well, I'd want so-and-so to be saved, but that one over there, man, I tell you, he can stay a member of that Church of Satan and you know, do whatever there, but you know, I don't want to see him there. That's not the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to look out with love and compassion and say, I want the whole world to be saved. Will the whole world be saved? No, not everyone will accept Jesus Christ. But we are to do our part and to take the word to them, to do whatever it takes to live for Jesus Christ. And sometimes the life we lead, there's the old saying, you know, your life is the only Bible some people will ever read. And that's very true. Some people make their decision whether or not they accept Jesus Christ based on the life of someone that they saw and witnessed. Which church? Father, today, I just ask, Father, you would use these words as they've gone forth. Father, as they reach beyond the walls of this building, Father, out into various parts of the earth, Father, that there would be those that hear this message today, Father, that are members right now of the Church of Satan. But they would realize and make that conscious choice and say, I've got to be a member of the Church of God. I've got to let Jesus Christ into my heart. I want to go to heaven. And I know that there are some folks that are well-meaning out there living decent, good lives that are in that position. They just haven't realized they have to make that conscious act. They have to make that conscious choice. And I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts today. For I ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Shalom and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message. You have been listening to a message from the Lord's house. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.